history and philosophy. What is the purpose of understanding the philosophy of the uprising of Imam? The apparent aspect of it must be looked into so that when we will discuss it later, our minds will not have doubts about it. It is possible that you have so far considered the knowledge about the history of Karbala as its philosophy. Historical insights into the event of Karbala could be a step towards the philosophy. But by no means the history of the event is intended to describe its philosophy. The philosophical theories about Karbala are not the history of Karbala, and the purpose of philosophy of the uprising is not to narrate that chronicle about Karbala with an historical perspective. The philosophy of Karbala is to try and understand why was there an uprising in Karbala? What are the reasons, causes and factors that led to such measures to be taken by the Imam? If we summate all the causes, factors and reasons and understand how these led to the uprising, then it will be this collection which will be called the philosophy of Karbala. The particulars of how Imam took this Qiyam on such a date, the journey began. On this date, Makkah was reached, the history of Karbala. We know this history to some extent, but it's a sad fact that at times the little history which we know is also fabricated. The reasons for this is because people who have no connection with its essence have now started to narrate it. Take an example of a mother of a sick child and a nurse who is paid to look after the sick child. If the nurse is tired and the child starts to cry, then she will scold the child. However, even if the mother herself is ill and the child becomes ill during the night, then she will disregard her own personal discomfort to take care of the child. For the nurse, it is her job to look after the child, and she is paid to do it. And if you ask the nurse to tell stories to the child, she will do that as well, as she is getting paid for it. So when we pay someone to narrate the story of Karbala, then they are doing their job. Will they really be concerned about what they are saying, if it is fabricated or not, as long as they are being paid? Some people say that the respected imams used to do the same, and that the narrators of Karbala were rewarded by imams. But this is a misconception. Our imams did not simply reward anyone who narrated the story of Karbala, but only those were rewarded who would narrate the story of Karbala in such a style that the listeners used to imagine and would be aspired to be in Karbala. The imams wanted to tell that all of us should try and look at Karbala and narrate it authentically. The reward were not wages. You can't be paid for this job. So when a narrator starts telling this history, what comes to his mind becomes the history of Karbala, as people listening to him take him to be true. Maybe this person has not read even a single book about Karbala. Then it is reasonable for us to see that the true history will in effect be lost. And this is not only his fault, we are also the same. We may have read a lot of books of our university syllabus and other books, but never attempted to read a book on Karbala. So whatever such a person says in the name of Karbala becomes authentic for the listener as well. The listener and the narrator are same because none of them have read anything. But everyone is not like that. Karbala has intellectuals and historians who wrote and narrated the correct history. However, it is not necessary that after listening to the history, one can understand the purpose of Karbala. For this, it is necessary to read the philosophy of history. The philosophy of the rising of Imam. I told you all this because you keep it in your mind that the history of Kabbalah is another topic and philosophy of the rising is another topic. A narration of that story is history, whereas the investigations and the examination on as to why particular events took place and the consequences of which was the Karbala happened is philosophy.